Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of the pod. And, you know, today I wanted to dedicate our entire time to really diving into the Vanderpump Rules season 11 premiere, and who better to do it with. And I honestly think Vanderpump Rules number one fan, Mandy Slutsker of the Is This Real Life podcast. You know her, you love her. She's been on the pod many a time, and I'm so happy to have her back. And she is in a beautiful sir background on her Zoom setting. She's ready for a pumptini and to dive into this episode. Mandy, welcome back to the pod.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am honored that you consider me Vanderpump Rules number one fan because I have been spreading the gospel far and wide.
I don't know many people with a dog named after a Vanderpump Rules cast member, so.
Okay, but there's someone else I found who has a cat named Sheena.
Sheena would be a cat and Stassi would be a dog. It kind of just makes sense in my brain.
Right.
Yeah. Sheena totally. Is a perfect cat name. Like, it really does make sense to me. And that's amazing. I'm like, should my next pet be Bravo adjacent? Maybe.
Well, I don't know.
I know, right? Well, Graham's name changed, right, on the show? I believe
they hippie.
Which I think that is so weird to change a dog's name after they're like he's 2 years old or something, right?
He's way older than that, I think. Right?
Yeah, you're probably right. He's probably like 3 or 4.
I think he could be older.
No, older than
I have no idea how old he is, but wasn't it a gift from Raquel's parents to Raquel when she graduated?
I thought it was like a housewarming thing when they've moved in together or something.
I know they did have a special like dog birthday party.
Well, the dog birthday party made on Canva Pro that she like sent out to the world that they showed on Bravo that was hilarious of them using their BravoTV.com headshots on it with like a picture of the dog. Like they literally took like photos of themselves from the show and put it on like a background with the dog in it, and they show it. I remember being like, this is worlds colliding, like them referencing the show they're on for their own dog's birthday party.
But they started doing that more and more. Like, we're, you know, right in season 11. And in the first episode, Lala talks about her custody battle with Randall and how he's concerned about having Ocean on Vanderpump Rules. And that's the first time I'm like, okay, we're no longer pretending to have any relation to Sir. These are famous people who got famous on a reality show. We're naming that show while watching that show.
I completely agree with you. It was chill up the spine. I was like, this is, it was just, I don't think I've ever watched a show where they say the name of the show. Like, even like outside of maybe competition reality where they're like, when I was a contestant on Big Brother, it's like, I've watched Big Brother forever. Like, that makes sense, right? But on like reality, situational reality shows, we're watching people's lives. Like, it's meant to be slice of life. So it's kind of crazy to see them say that. What did you overall think about the premiere? Like, where do you think we're at? What do you think we're barreling towards this season? I don't know. Kind of like first thoughts.
I think the average, like the viewers like us who pay so much attention weren't shocked by any of it. Because mm-hmm. we've like kind of known what's coming, and this is when it feels frustrating that everything's in the media as it happens and then we have to watch later, right?
Right.
And one of the things I loved about this season of Salt Lake City was that we had no idea what was going to happen. Like, we were all just shocked. And with Vanderpump Rules, I don't feel surprised by anything anymore. But mm-hmm. I still enjoy it. I like the aesthetic of the show. I like the people on the show, their relationships. I'm interested in like watching them grow and evolve. So yeah, overall, thought it was great, but was doing a lot of math in my head, piecing together when they began filming the show and how close that was to when the reunion was taped versus when it aired.
Yes, I completely agree. And I think Bravo, it would behoove them sometimes to do a kind of like season of a show, part A and B, maybe even. If, say, there's something explosive that happens, like Scandoval, I kind of think it would be smart to do, like, pick up cameras immediately, which they essentially did, is my understanding. So the season premiere takes place 3 months after Scandoval was out in the press, which means this was probably like a month after they did the reunion. So we're still like, don't you think timeline, does that make sense?
So I actually wrote it down. So when they filmed the reunion, it was late March of 2023, 3 weeks after the scandal broke. And then at that point, only 7 episodes of season 10 had aired. So they hadn't seen the majority of the season. And they didn't know what each other said about each other, which is something that they talked about on the after show, which is really interesting.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So the reunion aired May 24th, 31st, and June 7th. And on June 7th was when the cast for the first time heard what Rachel had to say, like in those that final 5 minutes where she's kind of explaining that she was asked to lie and she doesn't really want to say everything because then she won't have Sandoval and that's the only person she has in her life right now, you know. And so that was June 7th. And then Ariana's birthday so crazy. I'm like putting together.
No, I'm liking it.
Is June 24th. Fun fact, same day as Stassi's. And
your dog or the woman on the show?
The woman on the show used to be on the show. Okay. Yeah, no.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then when in that scene with her and Katie, when she had all those flowers, she's like, oh, these are birthday flowers, meaning that I'm assuming it was within 3 days or so of her birthday. So I think late June.
Got it. So
does that sound accurate?
Sure. That's a little longer in my mind from the, I guess that makes sense though. I guess 3 months from, yeah,
it was
April, May,
a
June.
Long time,
yeah, it makes sense.
Since the reunion was taped, but not since they watched the reunion and the stuff, the bombs that Rachel dropped.
Right. And so so back to my sort of like the way they should do these shows. I think that they should have done released part A of season 11 in like September. Mm-hmm. They filmed June, July, August. September is probably not realistic. It takes a while to edit a television show, but it's only like 7 episodes, say, like the first 7 episodes release in October, something like that. And then in the new year or like in February, like now they release the back half of the season and like keep filming, or like just something where like we can see, because the timeline of the show gets very confusing. It's very similar to Summer House for me, where Summer House airs almost a year, like a full calendar year after filming. And when they do the reunion, by the time they film it, most of them have already filmed Winter House, which is supposed to come after Summer House, but they're doing it after Winter House. So like the timeline of people's emotions don't make any sense. And we're dealing with that similarly here, because they were watching them in real time react to something we were obsessed with now almost a year ago.
Right.
And so it's hard to connect, especially in this day and age where content moves so quickly. And we've had a whole other scandal on Bravo happen in the past like couple weeks that feels so explosive on Salt Lake City.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm saying like, not that that's the same level, but it was like all we've been talking about is Reality Bontis, right?
Right.
So it's like, oh, we got to go back in our brain to think about what happened in, you know, West Hollywood. So I just think there could be some tweaking on the way they turn these shows around or on the way things are released to the press.
I think it's the way things are released to the press. I think they should have gag orders. I don't think they should be allowed to talk about the show on their podcasts. Like, I really want to be surprised by things, and I don't want... Mm-hmm. all of the, like, to find out separately, because then it makes the show less enjoyable to me. I think the viewers who are just watching the show and who aren't on Instagram and who aren't paying attention to the tabloids, I think they enjoy it so much more because they don't really know what's coming, you know?
And oh my God, this season, I did mute people, different accounts, because they were posting so much this summer. I'm actually fully remembering this. I had blocked it out of my brain. They were posting constant spoilers on huge plot lines of this season that we're about to watch all over social media, like daily, because like we were still on the heels of being so obsessed with Vanderpump Rules. Like we were all doing our rewatches and stuff. And so the cameras picked back up and they were just like posting on Instagram all the time being like, and did you hear that this, this, and this happens? Apparently a fight went down at this bar last night. I'm like,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I muted people, like literally, and I unmuted them. And it's not that I have any, some people that's their lane that they operate in is like, I'm going to post tabloids and mm-hmm. that's not my lane, but I'm going to respect their lane. But I'm like, I don't want to be spoiled by like the shows that I love to, you know, turn my brain off to watch, you know?
Can I share a tabloid that I did post though, that I found very humorous?
Wait, is this the one that happened right before the pod or no?
No, this is from like...
Okay, so Manny has two tabloids.
Two tabloids.
One is whatever she posted. And then right before you pressed record, Mandy said something. I got a news alert on my phone. And I said, my phone's in airplane mode. I can't see it. So I got to know. So take it
away. So it wasn't a news alert, but it did pop up in my Google news feed. So both of these mm-hmm. I found that way. I did watch the after show, and so this was a news alert about what happened in the after show, which I believe is filmed very close to real time. And Ariana said that she believed that Billie Lee was living in her house, which I can't help but laugh.
I saw that.
Sorry, it's just,
and Billie,
it's not
does she
funny
make an appearance
funny.
On this season?
I have no idea. I would hope so if that's one of Tom's like closest friends. Just to get a sense of what his life is like, but to not know whether or not someone is living in the house that you own and that you're not living in at the moment because you're on Broadway, but mm-hmm. like that's just wild to me. And it made me laugh.
It's crazy.
It's just the absurdity of the situation. And then the other is that I just read before jumping on here that they weren't allowed to film at Schwartz and Sandy's this season.
Why? Probably from that awful owner, man.
The owner and everyone else was basically traumatized by what happened. So I also, in preparing for this podcast, I didn't get through all of it, but listened to the Tom's interview with in the Vile Files. And mm-hmm. Tom Schwartz talked about how it wasn't just like the negative reviews. It was people physically showing up, vandalizing the bathroom, like harassing anyone that worked there. And it wasn't just a couple mm-hmm. people, it was hundreds. And so the staff, just to keep like a distance from the show, especially since Sandoval is not really a major player in Schwartz and Sandy's these days, just didn't right. allow filming because the staff, for their own well-being and safety.
That honestly, the bar, I don't need to see that bar, so that doesn't upset me. And I also think that I also am happy. I want the staff to be protected because they're just trying to work a job. They don't care about you know, being on the right. show. Maybe they do care about being on the show. It is LA, mm-hmm. but I would want to protect their mental health, that they don't need to be like in the midst of like shenanigans.
Right. And that's what Tom Schwartz was saying. Like, he felt bad that these people that didn't know much about the show and didn't know much about anything, like, got swept up in all of it.
To Vial Files, I've just seen the clips online about all of it. And Tom Sandoval looks like he's down bad. Like, he looks in a worse place than he did when this all happened.
One thing I did hear in an interview that he did was that he was sober for 8 months following Scandoval. And I think that is a positive move always. And I hope he meant sober from all substances. And recently he said he's no longer sober from all substances. And I felt, just because he was late to the podcast and it started at 2 p.m. that maybe he was on some sort of like bender. This is just me speculating. I have no.
I agree. No, he looks like he's on a bender. I mean, he's wearing sunglasses inside while with a baseball cap while ring lights are staring at him. And he keeps being like, dude, I just like, dude, it all happened to me, dude. Like, oh. I'm like, you look like a bro who is like, he looks like a college frat boy who's been like drinking all weekend long and doing other things. I don't know. He stresses me out. And, you know, yeah. I need him to be well. I don't wish him like, I don't wish bad on him, like in his life. Like, I don't want him to be like unwell, you know, like it's a show. He's a dick. And I like watching shows with dicks on it because they make good TV. And I don't want to be his friend, but like, and I don't want anyone I know to be his friend, but I just want him to not be in this dark space because it is not fun to watch.
Totally. Did you also see that he's dating someone and it came out today on TMZ?
No.
I'm usually never know anything. I've like prepped ahead. I'm talking.
No, I love this.
I'm talking to Tom. I need to figure out what's going on. Okay. It's some model. Let me see if I can find it. Model Victoria Lee Robinson. She had been linked to Leonardo DiCaprio when she was younger.
That's probably why he's with her. Well, Leo goes for the young ones.
They've been officially dating for a month or so.
Interesting. Well, I hope she's a good influence, I guess.
Who knows, right?
He needs positive people in his corner. He needs, like, if he's going to stay on the show, we can't just watch him be in this, like bender state, you know?
Although, if that's his real life, I do want to see it. I feel like they hide really well, other than James Kennedy, their alcohol and drug use. And seeing the, like, negative impacts of it and... I find it endlessly interesting to watch, like, on Southern Charm, Shep come to terms with the fact that he's in his mid-40s and, like, maybe he can't do those things anymore and he's just, like, wrestling with it. And I find that to be really compelling because it's that kind of behavior is so normalized in LA and in, like, the circles that they are in. And I don't think they realize how unhealthy it is and how, like, negative it's impacting them.
I know. But I also, like, I do think the party scene, they've created their own scary bubble of party scene. The world does not party like they party. Like, they are, some of them are in their 40s, like, deep in their 40s, whether they are lying about their age or not. And, like, are doing things that I did once in my college years. I'm like, I don't know how they can continue. It's not a sustainable lifestyle, which is why Lala and James both have, like, tried to adjust their relationship with substances. Like, if you go back and watch the old shows, they are drinking white wine, vodka sodas, shots at like 10 a.m. every episode. And it seems fun at the time, but as they've gotten older, you know, a lot of them have calmed down and it's hard to see the ones that get left behind in that, like, party scene atmosphere. I think it's similar to Shep, where he has gotten left behind as the party boy and he's 47 years old.
It reminds me of, like, in college, people partied a lot. And by partying, I mean just, like, alcohol, sometimes drugs, like, just staying out really late, sleeping a lot during the day. That kind of behavior. And then nearly as soon as you graduate from college, people who start working and making money so they can pay rent, you know, you're watching those people and then they have to adjust in order just to, like, get by. And those who can't adjust, it becomes very obvious because people who have issues with substances, like substance use disorder or all of that, it is so hard to tell in college. Like, who actually has a quote unquote problem. I think it's hard for people to tell about themselves and for friends to tell about each other. And it's not till, like, after. And so this is sort of what I feel like we're witnessing is just these men in their 40s that are behaving like a 22-year-old, you know, and then it's catching up and it's, yeah.
I mean, Schwartz looks bad. And that is the face of someone who has continues to have fun in a way that is not fitting for his age. And I want everyone to have fun. I'm not judging anyone for doing drugs or drinking or anything like that. But like, it's not sustainable at the level at which these people do what they do constantly. It's just not.
It just doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't feel like they're living their best lives, you know. And
no, which is also kind of why we watch these shows, is to see people not live their best lives. So right. I see both sides of the coin on that. Like, part of me wants to like bring in some young kids who do rail shots at Sur at 10 a.m. on a Saturday, just because if we got to kind of go back to the roots sometimes. But like, I don't. I just, yeah, they're old. We're watching old people.
And I mean, they're my age, so like,
no, same. They're like, my age too, right? But like it's just like we're not watching the kids we were watching
exactly
before,
exactly. You know?
So okay, so let's talk a little bit just like about more intricacies of the episode. I found the Lala turn in this needed, but I also found it to feel extremely phony because she is the woman who last season, and for all seasons, is always calling Raquel a mistress. And she's like saying all this shit. She pulled all this crazy shit on Raquel last season while Raquel was like, wait, but you just confirmed that you and James fucked in Vegas.
Right.
And never told me. But like made her look out to be the bad guy. It's like, well, everyone's fucked up. But Lala always kind of rides on this high horse. Like she did it because she had reasons, you know? And I don't defend Raquel, but I do defend her sometimes in the way they go back and forth, Lala and her, because I didn't if I was Raquel, I would not have picked up her phone call.
Of course not. Lala, you know, she's like said in the after show that Raquel tried to make it look like Lala bullied Raquel. And I'm like, you did. You would speak like over her. You would scream at her. And I felt this to be very produced, and I feel like Ariana knew it was produced. And at this moment, production didn't have a contract signed from Rachel, and they wanted her to come back and film. And I think that's why the dog was given to James Kennedy to like lure her in, and she didn't bite.
That's an interesting point.
And so, you know, we're going to see Lala, you know, turn away from this real quick because Rachel doesn't show up. And the reason I think
she's building a bridge that goes nowhere.
She's exactly similar to certain government programs, right? Like building a bridge yes. to nowhere is exactly what and Lala.
We all are culprits of that at times in our lives, but Lala, girl, I'm like, babe, she's not. It's not worth this, and it's not worth it with your friendship with Ariana. Especially when in the same breath, she's like, Ariana, like, do you hate me? I always feel like you hate me. And it's like, well, and then like not 2 seconds later, she's like, I did send Raquel a voice memo.
Right. I think it's interesting, though, what she pointed out about Ariana not being as open or being kind of cold, because Ariana even said, I never fully let myself be good friends with Katie, despite really wanting to, because of all the stuff that mm-hmm. Sandoval would say to me and put in my head. And it'll be interesting this season watching her reevaluate her relationships with people based on what Sandoval had been telling her and then her going with her instincts.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. She has experienced some sort of level of like Stockholm syndrome in that relationship because like he is a master manipulator and a deep narcissist. And can kind of make people do anything he wants. And even people as strong as Ariana, he really got in her head about who was right, who was wrong, who's good and who's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I did miss him on this premiere, though, I have to say. I needed to see more than him pulling up like at the end of the episode. Like I know we're going to get a ton of him, and I know that I'm probably going to be exhausted in a couple weeks by it, but I did miss, I needed to see some of his side of the story to make the story feel a little complete here at the top.
I am interested, like, in the lies he told himself And that's why I listened to the Vile Files podcast. And there are so many things that he told himself, like he really thought he could get away with it.
Right. He completely did. Because he's gotten away with it before.
Right. But that was with Kristen. And everyone said that she was crazy Kristen. And no one wanted to listen to her or to believe her. So she wasn't as compelling of a victim as Ariana is, unfortunately, right? For her, because she got played the same way.
Are you going to watch The Valley?
I am. And the reason for that is I was talking to Aliza Rosen, who does a lot of projects with Alex Baskin. And she's like, Alex Baskin doesn't produce shit. Like, he produces good content. And I feel like this will be interesting. Plus, there's people that I feel like I not know, but have kind of communicated with, like Janet Caperna, who are going to be on The Valley, you know.
Oh, nice. So
we'll see, you know, what it's like. I'm not a particularly big fan of Jax and Brittany, but I'm very interested to see where Kristen is at and how much she has or has not evolved since the last time we saw her on television, you know?
No, I completely agree. Kristen is an awful human and has done some really fucked up stuff, but she is a bad person. I'm intrigued to see her unfold on camera sometimes, just because she navigates the world unlike anyone I've ever seen.
Right.
So like, you kind of just want to check in every once in a while and be like, what is going on? Because you're telling the world everything's fine and you're normal now, but I can't believe that you are.
But I do think she has a good heart. If that makes any sense. Like, yes. I do believe her heart to be good. I think this is going to sound so nerdy, but I would love to see the Vanderpump Rules kids, like, scans of their brain before they became famous and then at the height of their fame. Because I swear the pathways that are developed that make them, Stassi talks about how when you're on reality TV for a very long time, you start thinking your life is more interesting than it is, because producers and others are always asking you to talk about it, to go back, to talk. And you talk about yourself so damn much that you don't realize that other people don't care, right? And you become, it feeds the narcissism, it feeds like the thinking that you're special, you know, and exactly the kind of stuff that Sandoval did and with the whole scandal. And so I also would love to see child stars, like before they're famous, and like as adults, like Justin Bieber, like what is done where you're just only told yes and no one tells you no for an incredible amount of time? Like, what does that do to how you process information? Because listening to Sandoval on the Vile Files, I was like, oh, his brain is processing things very differently than anyone I've heard process information.
No, I mean, this is all a great point. And I would like to see like, it. I don't know what if someone handed me a brain scan of someone's noggin, I wouldn't kind of know up or down, but I would definitely like to see it and see what's up.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for, but you know, like parts that are lit up or like, you know, certain things. I would have to get like a neuroscientist.
Yeah, that looks right. That looks kind of bad over there. Tell me about that.
Like, you can see scans of like babies' brains and the language centers that are lighting up if they are only spoken like one language in the home, or if there's two languages spoken in the home. Like, you can actually tell on a child's brain scan that they're learning two languages at the same time. And if you learn a language as an adult, it lights up in a different area of your brain, like a brand new language, than if you're under one.
That's so interesting. I mean, what do you think my brain looks like? Where like the part of my brain where I access Married to Medicine versus the part of my brain where I access Vanderpump Rules versus the part of my brain where I access The Traitors. Like, I wonder what that all kind of looks like.
Right. And memory is super interesting, like how we're able to remember these details about people that we do not know in real life, that we have parasocial relationships with, and like how much space, like, is our brain just endless? Can we keep taking in endless amounts of information, or do we like max out? When am I going to max out?
I don't think I'll max out. I know more than I ever thought I would about these people.
Right? It's, yeah, when I'm like, oh, June 24th. Oh, yeah, of course. Like, Ariana and Stassi have the same birthday.
Yeah, you did. I don't have birthdays, but I'm also not a birthday person where, like, I'm not good at remembering birthdays, but I'm good at remembering, like, some, like, on these shows, I can remember, like, a restaurant they went to on season 3, episode 15 of New York or something like that.
Okay, I don't remember restaurants, but I do remember because it was such a plot line. Remember? Because they would have the same birthday and they didn't like each other. And then they had the birthday together. Right. Like, that's kind of why I remember.
Wait, so now I do want to talk a little bit about Shishu. Sheena is my favorite always. I find her so kooky crazy. No matter how famous she's become, she is the same girl she was when 100%. Season 1, episode 1 started. We very rarely get reality stars like her where they are just like authentically, unapologetically them always, no matter how many times they've seen themselves on camera. She's like a Teresa Giudice to me in that way, where she's like, but I'm not really a Teresa fan, but like it is rare to find people who just continue to be them. She is so authentically her. This stuff about Tom blocking Summer Moon is something she would have brought up in like early seasons of the show. Like it's so, and it makes me laugh so much because I'm like, in Sel from Who Asked Me podcast, she said this on Instagram and I'm stealing it from her right here. And she took the words out of my brain. She was like, Shishu, we love you so much, but Summer Moon's Instagram account is your Instagram account. So like, right. if the point is to put a barrier between you and Tom Sandoval, obviously if you're blocked, you would go onto Summer Moon's account and look at like his account from a different account. I have done this. Like I have people who have blocked me on my personal account just from like life and drama in the city. And I've looked at their account on the Dumpster Dive podcast account. Like, of course, why would you not?
Yeah. No, what Sandoval said he did in the after show was that he just blocked her and then it said block all accounts associated with her. And that's how it was like all these other.
Yes. You have the option where like you can block just that person or you can block this and other accounts created by this account. And so I don't know. I think, well, the person I've looked at before blocked me prior to me creating the Dumpster Dive account. So that was an easy loophole there. But I understand why Summer Moon's blocked. Cause babe, the Summer Moon algorithm versus the algorithm on Sheena's page is the same algorithm because they're run by the same person.
Can I tell you that Summer Moon is very similar to Sheena in personality?
Completely.
Like, I met her at BravoCon. I met the entire Sheena family within hours of entering BravoCon because there are these cocktail parties and it was Sheena and Brock, but like her mom was there, her dad was there, her sister was there, her daughter was there. They all were there. And if you stay at the cocktail party long enough, the people who just want photos leave and you can actually have a conversation. So I talked to her sister for a really long time. And while I was talking to her sister, we looked up and Sheena's like reapplying someone's eyelashes. And I wanted to know if she knew that person. No, it was just someone attending BravoCon who had a problem with their eyelashes. And she was like, oh, I have glue with me. I'm going to fix this for you.
I see it completely. I'm seeing her like dig around in her purse with their sun chips like astray in the purse. And like she has like different glues and things that she can be like, okay, here we go. I got you.
Like it was the most Sheena moment ever. And it just made me fall in love with her as like a person of who she is. She's genuinely kind. She genuinely wants to connect with fans. And I just find her delightful.
I agree. I think that she seems like a dream and I want to be friends with her. I'll say it. I think we would be fast friends because I would like laugh. I think she wants to have people around her that will like laugh at her silliness, like laugh at her antics.
I don't think she takes herself like, she doesn't as seriously want, as people think she does, you know, because she does get offended and upset with her friends for like talking about her in the press. you know, it, like so much, even though like she got pissed at Nick Vile.
Oh, right. I saw that.
Right. And then people were making fun of her about like, she's probably going to say, oh my God, we're like best friends. And then she laughed at that comment and was like, come on, guys, Nick and I used to be best friends. Like written really funny. She's in on the joke.
Yeah. But in her defense, like going to the press about shit is annoying.
I'm especially sure.
When you're on a show with someone that you know very well, if you've been on a show with someone for years and they go to the press about something before going to you, I too would be annoyed and probably mad.
Yeah, I think the press is really, like, these outlets are really good at asking questions. And if people answer honestly, or even if they don't, like, everything becomes a headline. Things that they don't even mean to become headlines. So I think Sheena should kind of also know that part, right?
Yes, but she's authentically Sheena.
Herself, exactly. Exactly.
She's unaware. No matter how famous she gets, she stays unaware. Now, okay, something else in this that I jumped out to me, and this is very small but random. I didn't understand that Logan, who people thought Logan was hooking up with James Logan.
Logan who broke
There's
the
another
penis
Logan.
Flute.
Yeah. Is a manager at TomTom?
Yes. So every time I've been to TomTom, which has been twice in my life, he's been there.
Okay. So that is very bizarre to me that he works there because he is so in all these scenes trashing the Toms and all this stuff. I don't know. It's kind of like crazy to me that he's that entrenched in like the scene there when he is obviously Ariana's like number one.
Well, he was friends with both of them. So she met him when he was living in St. Louis, and Tom Sandoval's from St. Louis, and she convinced him to move out to LA. He became roommates with Janet, who's going to be on The Valley. So this group is all intertwined. And I think he worked in like restaurants and bars and then eventually became a manager at TomTom. And then when shit hit the fan, he sided with Ariana. But I don't think prior to any of that, he said anything negative about either of the Toms.
Got it. I was just shocked by that, especially because all we've seen on the show is of him obviously being team Ariana and being like, fuck him, all that stuff. But then he's also like working under the bar that this man owns. I don't know. It just confused me.
Also, Sandoval and Schwartz own a very small amount of TomTom. It's still pretty much not managed by them. They just kind of are supposed to show up every once in a while.
Right. Okay. Speaking of Toms, Schwartz is in a dark spot. When I saw him with those plants, I felt sick.
Really? I didn't think the plants were the problem. I think
the bugs weren't great.
The bugs were fine. I think it's more that he still, and this was also in the after show. Sorry, I'm like talking about that so much, but I just watched it.
Oh, I don't care. Tell me about it.
So he never really unpacked and he wouldn't let himself sleep in the primary bedroom. He slept in like the small den area where he had his exercise equipment, and the bed wasn't even like big enough. He was like scrunched in it because he called it his depression den. I think he's been That's in a tough. Rough spot for the last multiple years. He's had really bad health scares in his family with like two of the triplets.
Yeah,
and then his
the
dad.
Brother stuff is sad.
So I think he's just not been in a great spot for a really long time. And Katie talks about how, you know, wouldn't you want to create a better environment to like help your mental health, like take things out of boxes, like have a cleaner, healthier environment. But I think it's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Like, do you have to get out of the depression in order to clean your place? Or do you clean your place even though you're depressed to try and not be depressed? But it feels to me that depression he was in like a clinical depression.
Yeah, it just kind of makes that apartment look so bleak.
It does. And it is a reflection on, I think, how he's feeling.
Yeah, I'm like, this is like season 9. This is like the 9th season of a television show you've been on, like, with a paycheck from he has TV money.
Well, I think he spends a lot of it on his family. He like supports his entire family. parents and siblings. So I don't think he keeps as much of it. And then the rest of it, he threw into this business. I think the only money he's real money he's had recently is from the sale of the house that he had with Katie.
And if you got any money being on that Reality Stars in Space show, need we not forget?
I forgot. I didn't watch that and I didn't watch Special Forces. So hoping.
I won't. If there was one I tuned into, it was Space. Special Forces, those shows. The clip of JoJo Siwa carrying Sandoval on her back is enough for me. Like, I don't need to tune into anymore. That was amazing. I don't know if you saw that clip going around,
I
but
saw
that made
that
me
clip.
laugh. The Special Forces show seems very serious, and the space show seems very stupid. So I'm gonna lean more to the stupid route, but I don't know that I'll watch it. Who won? I think Adam Rippon won the
I
Mar
have
Life on Mars or something.
literally no idea. Stars on
Yeah, I think
Mars.
it was. I think Stars on Mars, and I think Portia did very well. I don't know. Well, yeah. I mean, there wasn't much else that happened. Honestly, it was just kind of like we ended on this girls' night with Katie, Sheena, Lala, and Ariana catching up, and this is where Lala reveals to Ariana that, you know, she did reach out to Raquel, and Ariana is. I think you really said it correctly earlier when in our chat here about how you could tell she clocked like the like production is at play a bit here because her reaction is oddly calm, but also like you could see her eyes just kind of like stuff's up.
I think she's annoyed by it, but I think she understands it, right? Because in order to keep the show going, somebody has to reach out to her. She can't be an island if she's going to come back. Ariana is like, well, that's not my job to do, and I don't care. So I'm just going to live my life. But everyone else, especially a parent that's on the show, needs the show to do well in order to keep making money, to keep, providing for their kid. And so for Sheena and Lala, I think it's more serious about not creating drama, but just following what production is recommending to make good TV.
They gotta make a show, and you gotta do stuff to make a good show. It's not the show doesn't just make itself, you know. There are things that unfold organically, but especially the beginning of the season, I think production has to lean in and be like, okay, we need to do these things. We need to do this because this will get the ball rolling, you know.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead, go ahead.
So, when we were at BravoCon, I told my friend Jody after watching the little clip of the season, it was very short, but I said, I have a feeling that fans are going to turn on Ariana and they're going to get really annoyed with her this coming season. Like, I don't see the same level of support lasting. Whether I agree with that or not, it's just that's what I'm predicting. Like, what do you think will happen with regards to fan and other support towards Ariana?
Well, I definitely think that's going to happen. I think there's a lot of kind of unacknowledged misogyny in a lot of the viewers that will just quickly become anti her because they can only see her win for so long. And I think it's going to be hard to watch her deal with all of this with the separation of the way the show aired versus the separation of which she deals with it. And when they film these shows, they only film for like 4 months, 3, 4 months. So she's still, even at the end of the show, like I don't know about you, but I have dealt with breakups and fucked up stuff in my life. And it's taken me a year to get over some things that friends have done to me, that exes have done to me. And like, I'm an emotional person. That just is what it is. And she's a human being living out loud on camera, and she has to do all of this within probably like a 6 to 7 month period since like the last season even started airing.
No, I agree. I think it's a lot to manage and it's a lot to deal with. And I think there's a lot that we don't see of how she's processing things, right? How she's deciding to set boundaries, how she's deciding of who to keep in her life and who not to keep in her life, why she feels the need to make those boundaries so permanent and intense. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see her just like work through that or talk about working through that. Like what conclusions yeah. she's come to kind of protect her heart and her sanity. And does she feel it's working?
Yes, I totally agree. And also like the trajectory of virality in our current like culture of social media. When someone is catapulted to the level, I mean, she went from a Z-list celebrity. She's not Z-list to us, but to the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes. She went from a Z-list celebrity to like covers of magazines, like in ad commercials that everyone is seeing. There are people at my work that like don't even know. They've never seen a still of Bravo that were like,
same.
What's happening on Vanderpump Rules?
Why like they, were they at the all, White like, House Correspondents Dinner?
Right. And so, right. But when we put these human beings who are imperfect on such high pedestals that they now only have further to fall, you know, like she, anything she does wrong is she's no longer human. Like, to a lot of the viewers and a lot of like just America, right? Because she's been put on this standard that is unrealistic. This like savior standard that she didn't ask to be on.
Right.
Like she was put there because of just everyone's passion for the show and for justice for her, you know? But like, I worry that like, yeah, I mean, what is it? The higher you something, the more lower you fall. I mean, I just
the higher you climb, the farther you fall.
Right, like she's on such a high pedestal and the rest of the cast is still in the Z-list territory just waiting for her to like fuck up, you know. The world is watching her and they're not going to be kind to her and it sucks. I hate that for her, but she seems happy and she's killing it on Broadway. She just had her opening night, I think, yesterday.
I heard it went well. I heard she did like really. I mean, she went to school for musical theater. That was her college degree.
Right. I know. That's something I think people forget about is she is like a trained like actor, and which is why she also is good at being on a reality show, let's be honest. And mm-hmm. like she gets the game, and this is a huge moment for her. I really hope like people are easier on her than what I'm scared of, but I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for her. It could break her, you know, like this second season of Scandal, where yeah. she doesn't want to do the show anymore, you know?
Part of me has wondered, not that I'm like jumping on this bandwagon of like, or whatever, Ariana, but I do wonder when she's having these very firm boundaries, no one that's friends with Tom Sandoval is going to be friends with me. But yet she's remaining on the show that he's on. Not that she should leave the show, right? She's kind of like, why should I leave? He's the one who fucked up. But she is choosing mm-hmm. to remain in a toxic environment. The show is a toxic environment. And maybe that's why she has so many boundaries, right? Maybe she's like, if I'm going to do this, I need to set myself up for success. But it does feel yeah. like they're very intense. And I get being pissed at Schwartz. And I get not wanting to be his friend. But just the level of which she is still angry at him. And I understand when they were filming, but like now it's been how many months, you know?
Is she still really mad at him? Like, what is the, did she talk?
I think they haven't spoken.
Oh God. That's the hard part though, too, in defense of the show, not in defense of the Toms.
Totally.
We're seeing this on other shows right now and it's spreading Potomac. And I need it to not be a thing. Potomac, yeah. Married to Medicine. You cannot. Your job is to be around each other. Like, the check cashes. So while the check is cashing, while that contract is signed, no matter how much you don't like these people, you still do have to just somehow make something happen. You know? Like, that's what we're all here to watch. And I just don't have any interest in watching people ice out people on TV. It's just, it's not good TV.
Exactly. And that's the hard part, is that she's doing things that are not making good TV, but are good for her well-being. And
sure. How, which those are those essentially never combine.
Never interconnect. It's like,
no,
it's like a complete non-Venn diagram. And
correct.
I just wonder, is that what's going to turn the audience, right? Where she refuses to film with certain people. She refuses to film with people that film with those other people, like that kind of a thing. And I suspect myself and others getting a little frustrated, understanding why she's doing it. But like, this is the job, you know? We'll see.
Well, I agree. And we're also heading towards a full season of New Jersey where this is literally what they do, is not be together, which I don't know how much bandwidth I'm going to have for that. It's just not interesting to me.
The thing I'm interested in is watching Jackie become friends with Teresa and Jennifer Aiden. Like, that's what I'm fascinated with, because I believe she's not doing it strategically. I mean, I think part of her is. But
I do think something organically happened.
I think something organically happened, and that's what I'm most interested, like that real story. And then also, consequently, why she turned away from Melissa and Margaret. Because I believe she's going to find out that Margaret's the one that started or spread the rumor about Evan cheating. That's my take on it.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's my theory.
See. We'll have to watch what happens.
I don't know. I'm a big Jackie fan. I know no one likes her on the show or doesn't think she's good.
No, I love her.
I'm a huge fan of Jackie.
I love her.
Love Jen Fessler. Love them together. And I'm very interested to see that whole dynamic. But normally I hate Jersey.
Honestly,
they're
same.
All like argue. Like, I can't handle the Melissa Teresa situation, right? Like, I want to see
much. It's 10 years.
Other things.
Well, thank you for being here today. This is so. I could just dive. We dive deep together, which I love. We both have such a deep knowledge of the inner workings of all of these brains.
I know. Me talking about the brain scans is probably like a step too far, but it's just like.
No, I'm obsessed.
I don't understand how people on TV start behaving in a way that is just so, like, were they always like that? Did they develop this behavior, like, over time? Is it a mix of both? You know, like nature versus nurture sort of a situation. But with like the reality TV, like being, you know, Stassi talked about being rewarded for poor behavior to the point that like she started acting worse to receive positive feedback, and how that is great for TV, but really bad for your personal life, you know, and just kind of reconciling that in her head.
I feel like you should write some psychology book about the inner workings of reality stars one day.
Because I'm just like, they behave in ways that are so unusual and so foreign to me and you. And I just want to know how they got there.
Foreign to you. I've exhibited some unruly behavior probably more than you.
I don't know. I just like, I'm like, wait, what? You did what? Why?
That's true. Well, Mandy, tell everyone where they can listen to the pod, follow you, all the good stuff.
Thank you so much for having me. So you can listen to my podcast,
Is
This Real Life? Anywhere podcasts are found. It comes out on Sunday mornings. So if you are running errands or cleaning your house, it's a good listen on a Sunday. And you can find me on Instagram at Mandy Slutsker. And that's spelled Mandy, like Mandy Moore, and then Slut. Sker. If you look up Mandy Slut, I'm the only one that shows up on social media, so it shouldn't be too hard to find me.
You should change it to Mandy Slut. Mandy's great. And also, if you guys want, like, Mandy does such wonderful, every time I'm on the pod, we go very deep, and it's intellectual conversations about these shows that are it's very a refreshing take on kind of recaps of all the trash that we watch. So please, if you've not listened to Mandy's podcast, Is This Real Life? Go check it out. And Mandy, say bye to everyone. Bye.
Bye, guys.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at 2DumpsterDivas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.